And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package. But in fact, we have so much news. I can already tell that this is going to go into a second 15 coming up at the bottom of the hour here. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live for the Fastest 15. Glad you're aboard. So before I get to all of the news, and I don't know why I'm so flipping nervous about this.
It's like you're giving birth. It's like you're anticipating something that is really personal.
And very vulnerable.
Yes. You're going to be very vulnerable. Yes.
So let me kind of walk through this, because we're going to make an announcement right now. The fact that you happen to be listening right now means that you will have the first chance at joining us for this. So some of the shows here on Cairo Radio, they've done these live events. Mm-hmm. Tom and Curly, they do it quite often.
Yeah, at the Triple Door, usually.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I've mentioned this many times. I have great admiration for the Tom and Curly show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's unbelievably rare to have people on different sides of the political spectrum who get along and just, you know, do a compelling show. I've great admiration for them. So what they do when they've done their live shows is they essentially, I haven't been.
I have. But so they essentially bring the show onto a stage.
They do their radio
mm-hmm.
show
mm-hmm.
for a live audience.
Yeah, and then add a few little extras.
Yeah. And so management's been talking to me for a while. Why don't you do a live show? Mm-hmm. And I've had this idea for a few years. And what I said is, I think Tom Curley probably do it fantastically well. My radio show is optimized for a radio studio. So why would I want to do what would, for me, I'm not talking about anybody else, for me, it'd be a crappier version of my radio show for a live audience. So plus, what do I get out of that? I don't grow. I don't get a challenge. Doing the radio show is
it's different, though.
Challenging.
Yeah, but it is different doing it in front of a live audience. And what you get out of it is you get to meet many of our wonderful listeners.
But I'm all about life experiences and challenges and doing.
Yes. I mean, that's true.
I mean, this for me is like the level of intimidation that I got when I would skydive or bungee jump.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing that this summer? Didn't we decide we're going to bungee jump this summer?
Someone offered me up for a skydive or something, but no.
Well, I thought we were going to think of things you hadn't done.
Bungee jump's the scariest.
Okay.
I don't know if I could do that again. Anyway, so a couple of years ago, I came up with this idea. Well, what if I kind of script something, kind of do, for lack of a better word, because it sounds kind of pretentious to me, what if I do a one-man show? And here's kind of the broad concept that I came up with. When I was born, the same year as the Space Needle, okay, two Seattle landmarks, both came to be in 1961. And when I was born, Seattle was the most fiercely independent city. Lumberjacks and fishermen and self-sufficiency. And I was born into kind of poverty and dependence. And my mom would hope that some miracle would arrive that never would. And so I was like 180 degrees different from Seattle. And then something weird happened. Over the course of my lifetime, Seattle has gone from incredibly independent and self-sufficient to where it is now, one of the least self-sufficient, one of the most dependent, one of the biggest nanny state cities in the country. And my life has done a 180, where I now, and it started almost it started the exact same year Seattle started to go downhill, and it's 1978. And I have specific reasons for both. That I started to just embrace self-sufficiency and independence from government and everything that, you know, has evolved into what this radio show is. And so that's kind of the storyline that I've been working on. But mainly that's a phony construct just so I can tell a bunch of the stories that I've told on the show over the years. And so we've put together a little show that's going to be, 90 minutes or so. A big show. The big show. That's right. Thank you. It's going to be about 90 minutes or so. And did you say that they produced? I haven't even heard this.
Yes.
They produced a promo about this?
Yes.
Am I gonna be comfortable listening to this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's the promo that they just put up on My Northwest about this.
Sometimes a hustler, frequently incorrigible, often a rascal. What are the odds that an aimless kid from old school Ballard would grow up to become Seattle's most listened to radio talk show host? Find out as Dory Monson introduces you to the remarkable people who helped shape his improbable career. Get tickets to be a part of this live in-person audience. What are the odds? Friday evening, April 12th at the Kirkland Performance Center. Tickets on sale now at mynorthwest.com/events.
And really, that's what it's about, because I've had some unbelievable people who shaped where I am now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the time I was a kid to, you know, more recent years. And so I really want to share those stories with people. So
in the video, during that moment,
what is the visual there? I haven't seen
that visual is Ursula and I.
Oh, nice. The people who have shaped
my
life. It's
not about Ursula and I.
No, don't be. No.
Ursula and me are not the focus of your one-man show. But. So,
no, but you'll both be there. Sean.
I haven't seen the video yet, but yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. Yes. Okay, so we're going to do this coming up on Friday, April 12th. And it's going to be at the Kirkland Performance Center, 8 o'clock show. And we have tickets that just went on sale at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So just 14 minutes ago, we went live with the ticket sales, and I would love it if you would be part of our in-person audience for this, and because there are some really cool stories of people who have just kind of shaped things here. So,
and this theater is really pretty, cool. And it's in an intimate environment, so there are limited tickets available.
Yeah, so we scouted out a few locations, and here's the other thing: if it goes well, which I can't imagine. But if it goes well, then maybe we'll do it in a couple other places around here.
Yeah.
Go up north, go down south, all of that.
But don't bank on it.
Make sure you come to this one, this first one right here.
But you are like a nervous parent. I mean, it's like you're...
Well, I've never done anything.
I know,
like
and I love it because, I mean, you are stretching yourself. You are going to be... It's a vulnerability, and it's very personal to you. I mean, you're getting emotional just thinking about it. I mean, but it's like,
no, I'm getting emotional really? For other reasons right now.
Whoops. Let's go with it. you're going to be exposing yourself, and I think it's great because people have this one idea of you that what we hear every day. But I think when you see you in person, I think you see other things too.
Well, that's very nice. So I would love for our listeners to be part of this. And we just put tickets on sale. And the price of the tickets, it's just covering our costs. We're breaking even on the whole thing. So anyway, if you want tickets, I would love to have you join us. It's called What Are the Odds in the Evening with Me. It's Friday, April 12th, Kirkland Performance Center. And if you want tickets, go right now to mynorthwest.com/events. And we've got a link right at the very top there. So mynorthwest.com/events. And it'll be the first ever live show that we've done with our little radio show. But I think we've put together a pretty cool storyline for you. So come and join us. Friday, April 12th, 8 o'clock, Kirkland Performance Center. Go to mynorthwest.com/events. Can we get stuff I'm more comfortable with?
Yes.
Let's get to the news in the fastest 15 here. So, Jay Inslee, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but on Twitter, I broke some news this morning.
That he's thinking about running?
I have sources that tell me that sometime in the next 30 to 90 days, possibly sooner, Jay Inslee may or may not announce that he will or will not run for president. And so I can't confirm it, but my sources are really solid.
I have
told
even
me that.
Better sources, though. That I'm told that it'll be tomorrow.
Well, that would be consistent with my tweet. That's within 30 to 90 days, yes. And he may or may not announce. So, yes. So, my sources maybe are really good here. So, Jay Inslee is going to run for president. As you heard in Ursula's newscast, Republicans in the state, they are asking Inslee to resign as governor. Who takes over if Inslee resigns? Is it that Cyrus Habib dude?
Would generally, I believe, be your lieutenant governor.
The guy who won't even do his job because he's afraid of our state constitution. Okay, that'd be a great upgrade for. Why are the Republicans asking Inslee to resign? If you got a guy who's afraid to go to work because of our state constitution as the backup, I got to find out if the lieutenant governor automatically assumes the governorship.
I'm trying to look it up now.
Okay. Anyway, there's been some brand new Democrat polling.
Yes.
Yep.
So Habib?
Yes.
Habib would take over? Well, we don't want Inslee to resign then. Cry it out loud. That's not an improvement. That's like, I don't understand. Oh, we got to get Trump to resign, impeach Trump, from these people who despise Mike Pence. I mean, why would the Republicans say Inslee needs to resign and you got guy who's afraid of the Constitution sitting behind him? Okay, anyway. There is some new polling out for the Democrats. Now, Jay Inslee, he's been on CNN, MSNBC. He went on one of the Sunday...
CBS.
Yes.
Face the Nation.
So he's been... Apparently the nation didn't like what it saw. So they did some polling because he's been trying to get his face out there as much as possible. According to a brand new poll, the front runner is Joe Biden at 29%, Bernie Sanders, 27%, Kamala Harris at 10%, Elizabeth, I'm not an Indian, Warren at 7%. Jay Inslee is at the very bottom, 0%. Ahead of Inslee are Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper and former Attorney General Eric Holder, who got 1% each. So when you are trailing John Hickenlooper, it's probably not a real good kickoff to your campaign. So, but in a recent Monmouth poll, when voters were asked, Inslee earned less than 1%, but at least one person mentioned him.
I already told you my theory, though, about Governor Inslee. He doesn't really expect to win as president, but should a Democrat be elected, then he has, because he's only talking about climate change.
Right, and so the nation does not care about that. They just...
I think there are some in the nation who don't care about it.
Not according to the polling. I mean, 0% are back in Inslee, and that's his one inch. But look, there's no way, 0% chance that the Democrats are going to nominate a white man. It's just, Jay, it's just not going to happen. You'd have a better chance at...
You don't think Biden and Beto O'Rourke?
Well, Beto pretends to be Hispanic, first of all. And, no, that's his big thing. He's got an Irish name, but he pretends to be Hispanic. And and Bernie... I'm sorry.
Biden.
Why? Yeah, I'll get to Biden.
Okay.
Bernie slept on his mom's couch till he was 40, talks about the evils of capitalism, and owns 3 houses now, based on being a socialist, his later adult life, after sleeping on mama's couch till he was 40. He's not going to get elected. And then you got Biden, who would be 79, I believe, when elected, and 83 at the end of his first term. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago. If we're going to have a minimum age for president, which is we do constitutionally, 35, we should have a maximum age.
How about a Supreme Court?
Supreme Court should have a maximum age. Absolutely.
You've got to make a lot of changes.
Look, everybody loses cognitive. This isn't a diss on the old. I mean, some people say, oh, that's being ageist. No, it's not. It's being honest. It's being realistic.
There are some 60-year-olds or 55-year-olds who don't think nearly as clearly as someone who can be 75.
No, but somebody who's 75, there are a lot of incredibly sharp people. But almost everybody, and every study shows this, we lose some cognitive ability at age 80.
That's because there's aches and pains that distract you from thinking clearly.
Well,
that's the truth.
Then this radio show's on its last legs, literally, if that's the criteria. But no, everybody loses cognitive ability. And yes, there are some really sharp 85-year-olds, but that person is not as sharp as they were when they were 55 or 65. And again, that's not ageist. That's just honest. That's being truthful. So I don't think people want a president who's going to be 83 at the end of his first term. And I don't know, what's Trump going to be in 2020? How old's he going to be? He's going to be pushing 80 if he got the end of a second term.
He's 72 now.
Oh. Okay, so he'd be still in his 70s at the end of his second term. Yeah. We don't want to see him slowing down at all. We want to see him as razor sharp as he is today. So anyway, Jay Inslee will likely announce tomorrow, and he has absolutely no chance. Let's see, let me get one more story, and then we'll carry this into a second 15. Is Amazon truly beginning a pullout of Seattle? Because that's what I predicted when they announced the whole HQ2 thing. They said, don't pass a head tax and we'll stick around. But Amazon had plans to occupy a huge downtown office building in Rainier Square Tower. And now, I mean, we're talking about 722,000 square feet. And I had a meeting right a block from Rainier Tower yesterday after the show. And there is still so much construction down there.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, we are just a razor's edge away from a commercial real estate collapse around here. Because they are getting, in fact, I know where I had my meeting. I know what the rents are going for a square foot and what they're jacking it up to. And it is on a bubble right now. And Amazon says that they are not going to do what was going to be one of the biggest leases in Seattle history, 722,000 square feet. It was going to hold up to 5,000 employees. But look, Amazon does not want to do business in Seattle. They don't want to grow things in Seattle. They'll maintain what they have for a while, but they will let that slip away through attrition unless we start electing some sane people in government and those sane people start getting some of the criminal and drug addicts off the streets. And if that doesn't happen, you're going to see a slow pullout of Amazon. You're going to see a commercial real estate collapse, and you're going to see a region-wide recession that's going to look like Detroit in the 70s, because we have government that has just piled so much on the business community and has such contempt, and we're going to tax you this, and we're going to make you schedule that person that way, and we're going to make you give leave to that person if, you know, their parent has a problem. And the businesses are saying, we can't handle this. So we're going to see a Detroit-like collapse, and unless we restore some sanity to local government, I have no doubt about that. Let me take a real quick time out, and then we got a bunch of other news we're going to talk about in a second 15 coming up. And go get tickets for that live show. Go to mynorthwest.com/events. Lots more straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. Really? But you just told me right before I turned on my mic?
Yes.
Wow. Half hour ago, we just had a ridiculous day. Look,
I mean, what happened? You almost disappeared back there.
I got a little knee thing going on today.
Yeah, so, just so everyone knows, because you kind of make reference to it, and maybe not everyone knows, but Dory is continuing to do the show, even though he is in, like, excruciating pain.
Can't tell.
This is about the worst pain I've ever had.
I know, and I'm looking at you, and I'm telling him, don't feel like you have to come into work. But no, he's so dedicated.
I just said to Nicole, I said, I don't know if I can do the show tomorrow. And she gave me a look, and I said, I'll do the show tomorrow.
No, you can't take it.
No, we got him a mic at home. So
that's exactly what we need to do.
No, I could be better at home.
No, Dory, I'm just going to say this. You are not someone who complains about pain. And for you to even, like, have any size or any sort of, I mean, I'm looking at you thinking, oh my gosh, I'm worried. I just want everyone to know this is what's happening.
Yeah. Okay. But no.
And now he's about 3 feet off the ground.
I usually sit real high at the console, and I'm trying to change the leg angle. So I'm almost got my butt on the ground now as I'm doing the show. But anyway, that's not your problem. You got your own problems listening to this show. So for crying out loud. I guess.
Yes. Told you is true.
So a half hour ago, we announced that we're doing this live show on Friday, April 12th.
Yes.
And we're selling tickets. It's Kirkland Performance Center.
Yes.
And we had 10 VIP tickets. I didn't even mention that because that feels odd. But we're going to hang out. And are they getting drinks?
I think so. There's
VIPs.
Yeah.
And they're gone.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe you have to open up a few more VIP tickets.
I know we might.
Come on. It's only been not even a half hour.
But it's very intimate. Everybody's a VIP that
there's
night.
A special area for them, and it's a very small area. So we probably won't be able to open a lot more of those.
It's a cool little area. It's a cool venue. So anyway, if you want to go buy tickets for our first ever live show.
Hurry, do it.
MyNorthwest.com/events.
And even if you don't get VIP tickets, they're going to have a chance to meet you.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, it's a very intimate venue. So
yeah, it's got about fewer than 400 seats.
Right, and it's really cool. It's got this slant. It's very cool.
Yeah. And we're working up a whole, we got like pictures and video and audio. We got clips from the show. We got all kinds of stuff. We got all kinds of special surprises. So last night we got word, you know, in Virginia, I don't know if you've heard about this, the governor of Virginia, of course, in his college yearbook, he posed in either blackface or a KKK hood and robe. We're not sure which one he was in the photo. And then you got the lieutenant governor of Virginia. Two women have accused him of sexually assaulting them. And then you have
So we're not fake news, he has now decided he's not one of those two people.
Well, he claims
first said
he's
he
not.
Was, and then he wasn't.
No, he was one of those two people. He's lying. He apologized for the picture on a Friday, and then on a Saturday he goes, I don't think I'm one of the people in that picture. He's lying. And then the attorney general, he was in blackface back in his youth. So now it has compounded because all of them Democrats, and that's relevant only for one reason in the story I'm about to tell here. So the wife of the governor now reportedly had a group of students, including some African-American students, who was touring the governor's mansion last week, and the Virginia First Lady, Pamela Northam, she handed I can't even believe this. She handed a ball of cotton to an African-American girl and asked her to imagine what it would be like to be a slave.
And to clarify, this was during a tour of the White House. Yeah, so she was...
The governor's mansion.
The governor's mansion, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so once that word got out, everyone said, wait a second. The governor is in either blackface or a KKK hood and robe. His wife is given cotton to an African-American little girl saying, imagine what it's like to be a slave. Now, if a Republican and a Republican's wife had done that, do you think network television would extend any grace at all to them? Because I guarantee the answer is no.
But no one's giving her grace either.
Oh, let's listen to CBS This Morning, Ursula.
You know, guys, when I saw this story, it made me kind of sad because I just think she's just giving a tour. She's just trying to put history in context. And it all depends on how she delivered it. I wasn't there. But if she said, can you imagine being this person, or can you imagine a little black child what this was like? I don't believe that that was her intention. I was there at the mansion and met them both. She was very lovely. She was even talking about the history of the house.
Yeah, I almost called you last night when I saw this story, too.
I know,
when
I saw it, Nora,
I do think it's important, and I applaud the First Lady for actually saying, look, this is where slaves worked here in the governor's mansion in the past.
And put things in context.
Yes, and actually picking cotton was extremely backbreaking work.
Yes, and I think that's the point. Again, we weren't there, but I can't imagine that she would have been that insensitive to this young person who was there.
So that's Gail King.
Gail King and Nora O'Donnell. Now, I'll get back to my question when you said nobody's extending them any grace.
I'm seeing this being reported everywhere. So I think the one who's giving her grace is Grace King.
Gail King.
Gail King. Collie.
And
I am
Nora
like,
O'Donnell.
I'm getting distracted because I'm watching you trying to adjust your leg there. Gail and Nora.
But they bent over backwards.
Yeah, but that's them. I'm seeing this on pretty much every. I sent you the email. Saying, oh my, I cannot believe. And here we were thinking that she was kind of propping up the governor because remember, she was the one who told him, no, don't do your moonwalk right now because that's not appropriate.
There's no way the two morning news anchors would bend over backwards to extend the kind of grace that they did on CBS this morning. By the way, have you heard the Nora O'Donnell rumor?
Yes.
There are rumors that Jeff Glor, who's the CBS main news anchor.
Honestly, I don't get that.
And he does the top of the hour news, I think, coming up at 2 o'clock on our show.
I don't think he's the strongest anchor they've ever had.
So, there are rumors that Nora O'Donnell might take over at CBS. But it's so weird because when we were younger, the network anchors were the megastars. Not just in the news biz, but in media. You know, Tom Brokaw and Peter Jennings, Dan Rather, Walter Cronkite.
Yes.
Now you got Jeff Glor, you got Lester Holt.
But you know what they're trying to do?
Who's the ABC guy?
Good question.
I don't even know. I mean, I'm serious. I know every anchor from about a 30-year period when I was younger, from Huntley and Brinkley to John Chancellor to Brokaw all of them. And Peter Jennings was the last one at ABC that was kind of a star. I don't even know who it is now. And Jeff Glor? So
yeah, there was a big search, and then they came up with Jeff Glor. And I think there's just David Muir is the agent.
Yes.
I'm like,
that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that position has fallen. So anyway, that's a rumor that's floating around. It's not like Nora O'Donnell is going to save CBS if they make that move. Oh, let me take a quick timeout. I got a bunch of other stories here, including a mega TV star from my 20s who reportedly has had a massive stroke. Tell you about that. A guy who's younger than me, crying out loud. Details coming up. We were talking earlier, Jay Inslee expected to announce tomorrow that he's running for president of the United States. Cory Booker is another Democrat who desperately wants to be president. So he did an interview earlier today with BuzzFeed. Because that's what you got to do if you want to be president these days. You got to either host a reality show on NBC or you have to talk to the folks at BuzzFeed. So we've got a lot of issues in this country. We've got the wall, the illegals, we've got taxation and economy. We have $23 trillion in debt. You get a major Democratic presidential candidate on your show, what do you ask them? Well, it's pretty obvious.
What is in a margarita? You can do this.
We have faith in you.
So a margarita, there's fruit and there is ice and there is vodka. Tequila. I'm sorry. I had help from a friend. Somebody yelled out tequila. That's my favorite karaoke song. So all I have to do is stand up there and karaoke and go tequila.
It's control tequila and lime juice.
You guys are rough. This is brutal. This is literally, this might lose some votes from people in my family right now because they're like embarrassed.
Okay,
so everybody's goofing on Cory Booker because he thought a margarita was fruit and vodka. I couldn't care less. I'm kind of glad he doesn't know what's in a margarita. It probably means he's not a heavy drinker, which I think is a good thing. So I don't hate on him for not knowing what's in a margarita. Just the idea that for the next 2 years, you and I are going to have to listen to crap like that because... So The Democrats are going to be pandering farther and farther to the left. They're going to go on with all the websites that they think are necessary and cool and hip, you know, like Kamala Harris talking about listening to Tupac and Snoop while she was getting high, joint, not a blunt. In that interview she did a couple of weeks ago, we're going to have to listen to crap like this for the next 2 years, nearly. And I'm dreading it. I mean, we do have a lot. And I know you're saying, no, Trump's no better. Trump talked about issues. I mean, he was, whether you like it or not, he was laser focused on the wall and illegals and all of that. But if we got to listen to who you listen to while you're smoking a joint and what's in a margarita, if that's going to be what we're served up for the next year and a half, we're doomed. We're absolutely doomed as a nation. And then one other piece of news. It was a very popular show, especially when my girls were really young. Did you watch 90210?
Yes, once I was old enough to, because it started when I was too young.
A little too young for it.
But by the time I got to high school, it was still on.
One of the stars of 90210, and I remember the big goof when the show was running, was Luke Perry was in his 30s, I believe, maybe 28, portraying a high school kid. And
are you saying you watched this show? I'm surprised.
No, I did a bit on the radio show.
Oh, okay.
Where my oldest daughter, when she was about 3 or 4 years old, she would do Melrose Place and 90210 recaps, like my first year on the air.
Okay, that's adorable.
Yeah. Luke Perry, according to TMZ, suffered a massive stroke earlier today, and he's on the show Riverdale now. He's 52 years old. He's in a Los Angeles area hospital. Massive stroke. Trying to get more details on that.
Really quick, did you see that they announced a remake of the 90210 show? But
they just announced it yesterday.
But yeah, he's not going to be a part of it anyway.
Big Lead 2, coming up next.
Tequila.